Welcome to Safety Breakthrough Talk Radio. Do you have questions or worries about the safety, health, or wellness of yourself, your family, friends, or work colleagues? The answers are here. In the next 30 minutes, you'll learn about a safety, health, or wellness topic and how to make safer and healthier choices for yourself and for others. And now, here is your host, Kathy Hansel.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Safety Breakthrough Talk Radio, aired on the Amazing Women of Power International Network on iTunes News and Talk Radio. I'm your host, Kathy Hansel, and welcome today. Some of you may remember the wonderful interview that we had with Mr. Ed Folk, the former U.S. OSHA Administrator and Assistant Secretary of Labor. Ed was very passionate about the issue of the rising obesity situation of our young people, not only for their own current and future safety and health, but also the impact that that has on our country's productivity, because they are the future workforce in our country. As a continuation of that very serious issue, we'll be talking with two national experts on the subject from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, two centers within CDC. Mm-hmm. One of our guests is Ms. Dawn Castillo of NIOSH, the Division of Safety Research, and Ms. Mary Hill of the National Center for Chronic Disease Prevention and Health Promotion, and within the Division of Nutrition, Physical Activity, and Obesity. In fact, there is so much wonderful information to share with you on this topic that we will be having a two-part series on this issue. Today, Ms. Castillo and Ms. Hill will be talking with us about the serious situation of obesity among our young people, and how obesity increases the risk of serious injuries and illnesses, both personally and inside the workplace. In part two, Ms. Castillo and Ms. Hill will describe the many solutions to this problem, to the safety and health impacts of obesity, proven successful programs and tools that employers can use to reduce the safety and health risks in the workplace, also targeting overall wellness and targeting our young workers, and things that our young workers can do on their own outside of the workplace. So today we're going to be talking about the whole situation, kind of setting the stage for the second part, which is going to be offering lots of solutions. So let's get started. First, I'd like you to meet Ms. Castillo and Ms. Mary Hill. Dawn, please provide our listeners with some information on your background and your work related to young workers, future safety, and health outcomes.
So I've worked for the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, or NIOSH, for 21 years. And NIOSH is the federal agency responsible for conducting research and making recommendations for the prevention of work-related injury and illness. I'm currently the director of NIOSH's Division of Safety Research, which is the focal point within NIOSH for traumatic injuries research. I'm an epidemiologist, which means that I study the causes, distribution, and control of health conditions in populations. My specialty is occupational injury epidemiology, so I study the types of injuries that workers incur, the circumstances under which they're injured, and I make recommendations for preventing worker injuries. One of my first assignments when I joined NIOSH was to analyze data on young workers. Throughout my career, I've conducted numerous analyses of young worker injuries and the trends in those injuries over time. I've been involved in developing guidance materials that can be used by employers, young workers, parents, and teachers to help prevent injuries among young workers, and I've contributed to the development of research efforts to better understand the complex causes of young worker injuries and how they can be prevented. I'm also the parent of three accomplished young women, and I can speak to parental concerns about the safety hazards they faced in their first jobs, and as my eldest has begun her career in nursing, and the challenges that they face in balancing school and work.
Oh, that's excellent. And welcome, Dawn. Now, Ms. Hill, would you please share with us a little bit about your background and the current role at the Division of Nutrition, Physical Activity, and Obesity?
Thanks, Kathy. I am a public health analyst in the Division of Nutrition, Physical Activity, and Obesity at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. I work in the Obesity Prevention and Control branch in the division, and my area of expertise is to translate the scientific evidence and develop guidelines and recommendations to address obesity in various populations and settings. I also provide technical assistance to our grantees, contractors, and partners who collaborate with our division to address the risk factors of and strategies associated with obesity prevention and control.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you so much, Mary, and welcome. Looks like you're going to bring a wealth of information and experience to our topic today.
Thank you.
Well, you're certainly welcome. Okay, well, let's get started. To open up this whole topic, I think if we are to better understand the issue and relationship of obesity, young people, and the workplace injuries, I think we need to understand each component a little better, the component of obesity, the component of young people, and that of workplace designs and demands and programs. So I'd like to start us off. Let's look at that first component of obesity. What is that? Mary, you've got a lot of experience in this, and how would you define obesity, and what is the obesity rate in young workers?
For adults, overweight and obesity ranges are determined by using weight and height to calculate a number called the body mass index, or BMI. BMI is used because, for most people, it correlates with their amount of body fat. An adult who has a BMI between 25 and 29.9 is considered overweight, whereas an adult who has a BMI of 30 or higher is considered obese. In 2012, CDC reported that overall, 23.4% of persons 18 to 24 years old were obese, with 21.6% of males and 25.3% of females being obese in that age category.
Wow, that's higher than I would suspect. Now, what effect do you think this has, Mary, on the security of our nation?
Well, obesity in military personnel raises issues of combat readiness and ultimately national security. In the report, Too Fat to Fight, military retired leaders indicated that overall, 27% of all Americans 17 to 24 years of age, that's approximately 9 million young men and women, are too heavy to join the military if they desired.
Wow, my goodness.
In addition to these young adults who are unable to enlist, the military discharges over 1,200 new recruits yearly because of weight-related problems. For each man or woman the military discharges, it costs almost $50,000 to recruit and retrain a replacement. This adds up to about $60 million annually.
Oh, my gosh. Those statistics are startling. I had no idea the situation was so serious. I mean, we started out our conversation, and I think our topic, realizing there's a link with the workplace situation, but also there's a very serious link with our military and our national security here, too. What do you think are the costs of obesity in general and specific to our young workers?
Kathy, the economic cost of obesity is high. In 2008, medical costs associated with obesity in general was estimated at $147 billion, or approximately 9% of annual health care costs. The medical costs for people who are obese were $1,429 higher than costs for people of normal weight. Mm. Now, regarding younger adults, research showed that the lifetime medical expenditure for an obese 20-year-old ranges from $5,340 up to $29,460, and this figure increases proportionally with a rising body mass index.
That's very consistent with a lot of other things that I've heard, and maybe our listeners have heard too, that there's a severe cost of having individuals that are obese. There's medical costs, there's implications in how they do their job, also implications on their overall safety and health. And you can understand, or at least I can see the connection here between lifetime medical expenditure that high, and that's going to increase proportionally as their BMI increases.
So that's correct.
So quite serious. So if that's the issue of obesity, and thank you for that definition with us, now let's take a look at our second component, and that's the young people. We're focusing on younger workers today. And Dawn, when we talk about young workers, what are we referring to, and how are these young people defined?
So there are various definitions for young workers, and young really is in the eyes of the beholder. However, I propose that for this discussion, we consider young workers as those less than 25 years of age. Common features of this age group are that they've recently joined the world of work, they are relatively inexperienced, and they are especially interested in building job skills and defining their future careers. While I would like to focus on young workers less than 25, it is important to note that there are special considerations for workers less than 18 years of age. For these workers, their primary job should be school. They are especially inexperienced when it comes to work. And there are both federal and state child labor laws that set limits on the types of work and sometimes the hours that they can work. And more information on child labor laws is available from the U.S. Department of Labor and state labor departments.
The obesity issue is certainly serious in numbers, costs, and impacts, as Mary has described the impact to the military. But the third component is the workplace. Now, why are employers concerned about obesity in young workers? Mary, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, obesity is an increasing concern in society. In addition to data showing the impacts of obesity on health and healthcare costs, there is some research suggesting that obesity may lead to increased risk for injury and recovery from injury. Obesity is a major health issue for Americans and a contributing cause of many health problems that put them at risk for chronic conditions, including diabetes and heart disease. Obese employees have higher rates of absenteeism and disabilities and lower rates of productivity.
Oh, so this has to be, if it's not a concern now, it sure should be. Dawn, what do you think about the concern of obesity in young workers?
Well, as Mary noted, nearly one quarter of our young people who are of working age are obese, and their obesity can contribute to serious health conditions that may impact their ability to make productive contributions in the workplace. This is startling, and the implications of this are apparent when we consider that young people represent a sizable proportion of our nation's labor force, about 13%, and that they number nearly 17 million. On top of that, and compounding issues with obesity, we know that young people are at increased risk for injury at work, and that these injuries can potentially have profound impacts on their lives and career prospects. It is imperative that we address health and safety issues of young workers, including obesity and increased risk for injury, as young workers are our future. The majority of today's young workers will continue in the labor force for decades to come. At NIOSH, we encourage a total worker health approach. By addressing both worker health and safety issues, we can potentially pay dividends forward by helping to ensure the skills, strength, and well-being of our future workforce.
Oh, that's excellent. Certainly captures how critical this issue is. Now, how would you, Dawn, describe young workers and what do they bring to the workforce?
Well, first off, young workers can bring a tremendous amount of enthusiasm to their jobs. They often are excited to begin their transition into the world of work, and they are usually enthusiastic about doing a good job and taking on new responsibilities. They also bring with them many skills and perspectives that their more experienced counterparts may not have, but that can be tremendous assets to the workplace. This includes being very savvy technologically and in the ever-growing social media platforms. They also bring perspectives that employers can capitalize upon to help them understand the preferences of young people as customers. However, they also bring with them an increased risk for work-related injuries. This is largely due to their inexperience. Because young workers have no or very limited work experience, they may not recognize safety hazards or know what can be done to prevent or avoid injuries. In the current educational system, young people do not routinely receive fundamental information on occupational safety and health. And even if they've been employed previously, the previous employer may not have provided them any safety training. This current state of affairs is why NIOSH has initiated the new NIOSH Safe, Skilled, Ready Workforce Initiative, which perhaps we can talk more about. In terms of personal factors that young people bring to work, this includes ever-increasing issues with obesity, which is among the topics for this show, as well as beginning or increasing participation in adult behaviors which can have negative consequences, such as use of alcohol and drugs. I will let Mary speak to the issues of obesity, as that is her area of expertise. With respect to alcohol and drugs, this also is not my area of expertise, though I am familiar with some research suggesting that work may increase young people's use of substances. This could result from them having more money to spend and or developing relationships with older coworkers.
That's true.
And then finally, one of the characteristics of young workers that differentiate them from their more mature coworkers is that many may still be in school, and thus they must have to juggle work with school, home, and their social life.
Well, I hope that our listeners, and Frank, I'll speak for myself, that what you've just said helps me understand the complexity of this situation, not only what the young workers bring with them in inexperience, but also the pluses that they bring, and then the potential injuries from a lack of perhaps work experience or work hardening, that they may not be even used to working in the workplace setting. So it's a very complicated issue, and I think the information that you and Mary have shared have helped us at least begin to position this issue, how deep it is, how complex it is. And now let's look at all the pieces together. What's obesity? How are young people defined? And what exactly is the risk and situation of our young workers in the workplace and their potential to experience workplace injuries? So, Dawn, what are your thoughts on how susceptible young workers are to job-related injuries?
Young workers are about twice as likely as older workers to be injured on the job. And these findings have been replicated in numerous studies. These higher risks have been attributed to injury hazards that are prevalent in places where young workers work, as well as in experience. And if we use my daughters as examples, their first jobs were in food service. These types of work settings include risks for slipping on slick floors, risks for cuts and lacerations from using knives and other cutting tools, and risks of burn from cooking equipment and hot liquids and foods. While my daughters had some familiarity with these hazards from her home kitchen, the exposures were much greater at work and compounded by the need to work at a quick pace to meet their bosses' and customers' expectations. Their first jobs were in small mom-and-pop businesses, which were terrific environments, great learning experiences, but there was virtually no safety training. And I had to coach my daughters on the responsibilities of their employers to provide a safe environment and on the importance of safety measures, such as ensuring that floor spills were quickly cleaned up. And Mary can better speak to the associations between obesity and work.
Okay, thank you. I have to say that I can absolutely relate to your daughters because some of my first jobs were also in the same type of settings. There's lots of hazards, and again, speaking for myself, I had no training at all other than doing the job, but there was no safety training. Not a good situation for our young people.
And not an unusual situation. There are numerous studies that have shown that when youth start their first jobs, they often don't get training. And one of the things that we've been told by employers is that with youth, there's often a quick turnover. And so sometimes they may be hesitant or just not have the resources to provide that training. They don't necessarily see the investment that it has in the future, which I think is, you know, quite short-sighted.
I think so, too. Also, to your point, there's a difference between a national franchise organization and a small local mom-and-pop business.
You're absolutely right.
Which may even be less susceptible or willing to give that time and training rather than even the large national franchises. Mary, I know you've done a lot of research in this area, and what has research showed us regarding obesity and the relationship to workplace injuries? Are there workplace characteristics that contribute to obesity in our young workers?
As Don noted, characteristics of the workplace that contribute to young workers' safety, there is research suggesting that characteristics of work may contribute to workers' weight and obesity, such as long work hours. Although research showed that older obese workers are more likely to experience a job-related injury due to obesity than younger workers, some jobs may put young obese workers at risk for on-the-job injury, such as first responders, including firefighters, ambulance personnel, and police officers, as well as nurses and military personnel. Workplaces that lack opportunities for healthy food options and physical activity place workers at risk for poor behaviors. For example, having cafeterias, snack bars, and vending machines that lack healthy food and beverage options decrease the ability for workers to make healthier choices. Mm-hmm. Workplaces where leadership does not support wellness initiatives, including walk-in groups and healthy meetings, can also decrease healthier behaviors.
You know, that's very interesting because those characteristics are in two groups. One characteristic group has to do with the work itself and the work design, like you were saying about firefighters and ambulance personnel, but it has to do with the job tasks. That's one set of characteristics. But the other set is how the workplace is structured and supported for wellness and, as you mentioned here, for cafeterias and snack bars, just offering healthy food options, as well as supporting wellness initiatives like walking or maybe a fitness center on site or a company-supported gym membership. So there's actually two sets of characteristics that are contributing to obesity or, I guess, have the opportunity to not contribute to obesity. So given that, Mary, what do you think is the employer's role in addressing obesity and this whole issue with our young workers?
Well, work sites are an important setting to promote healthy behaviors, as approximately 1.12 million adults are employed full-time and spend between 8 to 10 hours per day at the workplace. And nearly 8 million of these full-time workers are 16 to 24 years of age. Furthermore, employers provide health insurance to a majority of these workers and their dependents at an increase in cost. And some employers are offering some form of wellness programs to their employees. For example, in a 2008 MetLife National Study of Employee Benefits Trends, 61% of large companies reported having a wellness program in 2008. This is up from 47% in 2005.
That's interesting because I had a great benefit of working for two companies, two very large companies, both of which built fitness centers right on site. And if they couldn't support or afford to do that on the site itself because maybe there wasn't enough employees to make it worthwhile, then they subsidized gym memberships of nearby gyms. That in the beginning, you know, several years before, it was relatively new, and it maybe it was about in that 2005 time frame. And then just a few years later, the fitness centers are becoming more and more common. So I'm happy to say that I've actually been able to experience something like that, and it made a very big difference in the workers and our own physical and mental state. It kind of revs you up. It gives you energy. So we had a better way to control our weight and lots of fitness and health programs around that. We have 112 million adults that are employed, and that's a huge opportunity for us. And 8 million of those are in that age bracket you mentioned, 16 to 24. You know, the employers do have a big role in helping to control the obesity issue. So I agree that the employer is a very logical source to offer effective strategies to help address obesity in the workplace, as well as improving workplace designs and tasks, as we talked about earlier, to reduce any safety risks that might be there, too. Likewise, the person themselves has a joint responsibility to follow good nutrition and exercise and wellness practices, not only at work, but at home, too. So effective programs to improve wellness practices in the workplace and safe workplace designs and ways to encourage better wellness practices. They're going to be the topic of our second show with specifics offered and how to do that. Today we've been very honored to have two national experts on this topic. Ms. Dawn Castillo of NIOSH, the Division of Safety Research, and Ms. Mary Hill within the Division of Nutrition, Physical Activity, and Obesity. And I'm sure that you would agree we've certainly gained an incredible insight into the serious issues in nature around obesity and its costs and impacts to our nation, to our workforce, as well as to our military, and to the occurrence of obesity, specifically among our young people, and that impact of obese young people actually in the workplace, who are our future workforce, and their likelihood, which is increased in experiencing a workplace injury and illness, not only due to their youth, you know, and perhaps their inexperience in the workplace, but also their increased weight and any health implications that come along with that excess weight. So, Mary and Dawn, would you like to offer any closing remarks on the issues that we've spoken about so far?
Well, thank you, Kathy, for the opportunity to discuss this very important topic of obesity in young workers. And as we discussed, obesity is a multifaceted, complex, and costly condition that needs to be addressed in various sectors and settings. And the workplace is a setting where young adults could spend a majority of their time. So at CDC, we continue to work to address the many risk factors associated with obesity and to find strategies for employers to assist their workers to maintain a healthy weight. Thanks again.
Oh, Mary, thank you so much.
Well, in addition to concerns about obesity among young workers that have been described by Mary, it's also important to address young workers' increased risk for injuries. The CDC NIOSH Total Worker Health Program encourages employers to address workplace safety in concert with efforts to encourage healthy living. And I look forward to talking more about the Total Worker Health Program in the next show. And let me also add my thanks to those of Mary for you bringing these very important issues to your radio listeners.
Well, thank you very much. So, as you've heard, the rising obesity levels in our young people is not a good scenario. It's not good for our young people, our businesses, or our nation's welfare, productivity, and security. But the situation is not hopeless. In fact, it is just the opposite. We have and we need a dual approach, a shared responsibility between employers and the young people themselves. There are proven, effective programs and tools developed by the CDC to improve knowledge and awareness of employers and young people on the issues of obesity, better overall wellness, better workplace design and workplace demands, and it's all centered on healthier people and safer and healthier work environments. And some are actually directly focused on young people in the workplace. Now, this is the topic of our part two, so please make sure to join us for successful practices and answers to help combat the issue of young people obesity and reducing workplace injuries and illnesses. So Dawn and Mary, thank you so much for joining us. I'm your host, Kathy Hansel, and thank you all for joining us on Safety Breakthrough Talk Radio. It's aired on the Amazing Women of Power International Network. You can hear us on iTunes, News, and Talk Radio. All rights reserved on this broadcast. And please have a safe day, and I hope you join us for part two.
You've been listening to Safety Breakthrough Talk Radio, hosted by Kathy Hansel. SBTR, dedicated to helping people live safer and healthier lives. Be sure to check out Kathy's website at www.breakthroughresults.org. You can reach Kathy by email at chansel@breakthroughresults.org or by phone at 908-652-1366. Have a safe day.